From the gorgeous confines of Melbourne, Australia, across the USA and 61 countries spanning the globe, Expat Progressive Radio presents The Bill Show with Bill and Randall. Now fasten your seatbelts, kids, because here are the loudest fat lefties on the net, Bill and Randy.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the truth is out. David Bowie and Glenn Frey are dead, and Dick Cheney and Donald Trump are still walking the earth, which leads us all to look up in the heavens and say, good aim. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to show 137 right here on The Bill Show. And I'd like
to... It's me too. I'm here.
I know. I'd like to introduce him. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend and confidant, Mr. Randall Berger. How, Randy?
It's me. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Show number 137.
It is.
You know, and we're actually on the same continent. We're in the same city.
We are.
But through the power of modern technology...
Yes.
...and the internet, we're able to do a live podcast... Mm-hmm. From two different places.
Yes, my God. As I said, I'm stunned by it. Now, you actually brought up something during a little pre-talk before the show. Who else died?
Bob Denver, who was Bobby Gillis's friend.
Gilligan's and, dead?
Gilligan's dead.
Little
and,
buddy.
Annette Funicello, famous Mouseketeer and main squeeze of Bobby Darin.
Well, she passed away a while ago, didn't she?
No, just in the last week.
Really? Oh, shit.
Yeah, no, it's really kind of sad. Yeah, we've lost all these people.
I think that Gilligan should run for president. You know, I don't think that Gilligan would...
All my friends are getting buried. And you know what? Yeah. We only ever see our friends at funerals now.
Well,
that's how old we are.
Well, no, I see. I'm younger than you.
Oh, yeah, Bob.
A couple of years.
Wow.
Hey, listen,
just
mate,
a couple of years.
I am valuing those years. But
aren't we all? I'm in my third age, though, you know.
Yeah.
That's how we politely say I'm old.
Well, you still look fantastic.
I try. The fat pushes out all the wrinkles, you know.
Well, listen, we've got a lot to talk about. Of course, we've had two...
We've got a fantastic show put together, you know.
We have, and we've had two debates, actually. The Republican and Democratic debates have been going on since...
Well, the Republicans masturbate.
Yes, yes.
The masturbate,
The masturbate. And, of course, the Democratic debate, which was... Did you see any of them?
I did, and you know what? The interesting thing is,
what
is the GOP are now turning on each other and eating and biting each other?
Yes, I know, it's amusing.
And Hillary and Bernie are kind of finally distancing each other from each other, which I'm glad because they were just so lovey-dovey and kissy-kissy.
Yeah,
I was thinking, how are these people ever going to compete? But now I think they're finally, you know,
three weeks out from Iowa.
Yeah,
it's because Hillary saw the poll numbers. You know, this idea that Hillary just, you know, is doing this out of, you know, because she really wants to bring truth and justice. Actually, it's because she saw the poll numbers and she realized, look, I'm going to have to differentiate myself from this guy. And she's taken off on him on guns, which is the stupidest thing in the friggin' world. You know, because he's got a D minus from the NRA. And health,
which is the odd
and
one.
Health,
because
but she's actually lying about that, which
a little bit.
No, not a little bit. A huge amount.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, but see, Bernie actually consulted with her in '94 when she and Bill Clinton were going to put up the Australian model of Medicare.
Yeah.
And Bernie Sanders was in.
And he was.
In on that.
He was.
He's been along for the ride for a long time.
Did you see the...
And he's had
Did you see the looks? Yeah, did you see the look on Bernie Sanders' face when she defended herself about being with the big banks by citing Obama? Did you see that sideways glance? If looks could kill.
Who's Barry's best friend? Who's Barry's best friend?
Barack. Yeah. Oh yes. Well, that whole.
No, he used to be Barry Suototo or.
Who was Barack was Obama?
His,
was
what was his? Yeah, Barry was his nickname in college.
Really, I didn't know that.
And he used his adopted father's surname Suototo or.
Oh wow.
You
are a font of information.
Well, if you look it up, you'll see.
I will. I'll look it up.
Go on.
Yeah. Yeah. But listen, I just want to say that I'm going to be talking to you a little bit later in the program for your tinfoil hats and for...
That's right.
And for Randy's Rant, which everybody should listen to because you've got some fantastic clips for this
look,
show.
Look, I just love picking up on... People just are saying the stupidest things. If you talk against me, you're talking against God.
And
the GOP owns the Bible.
Yeah.
Don't you, Barack Obama, don't you dare talk about religion. We own religion.
That's right.
And I'm going, what?
So we're going to have a fantastic Randy's Rant. But first, I am actually going to be doing a little thing that we like to call, and here it is. I'm going to do this one alone. It is called... Bravos and bullshit, Randall. And Bravos and bullshit. So you have a listen to what I said, say in the next 2 minutes, and then I'll catch you later for Randy's Rant, all right?
You bet. I can't wait.
I'll see you later, Randy.
Bye.
In your face, all over the place.
We're online 24/7. 24/7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for our opening segment that has been promised. It is our new segment, ladies and gentlemen, and it is called... And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Bravos and Bullshit. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, because we were not here to comment directly on both debates, we have taken a little time to go over some of the moments in the debates that we thought were somewhat amusing, somewhat bullshitful. I'll give you a hint. There's a lot more bullshit in the Republican debate, and that's not just because... I happen to be a lefty, it's because it's just bullshit. But let's start, ladies and gentlemen, as we do on this show. We always start with the bullshit. So, ladies and gentlemen, in the first GOP debate, which was just laden with bullshit, I'll absolutely tell you that I literally could not watch the entire thing. I had to watch it in two things, once on YouTube, because I went storming out of the room, hating my own head. One of the funniest moments that I recall is when Ted Cruz opened his yap and tried to come on like Bernie Sanders. So let's have a listen to good old Ted Cruz, man of the people.
The president tried to paint a rosy picture of jobs. The millionaires and billionaires are doing great under Obama, but we have the lowest percentage of Americans working today of any year since 1977. Median wages have stagnated, and the Obama-Clinton economy has left behind the working men and women of this country.
Ladies and gentlemen, oh, thank you. Thank you for that. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that is class A fucking bullshit. Now, we're going to go into the statistics because Jeb tried to pull this shank during his thing. We'll get into it there. But I would like to address the millionaires and billionaires question with Ted Cruz. Gee, Ted, I don't know. Do you know any millionaires and billionaires? Well, we went to opensecrets.org and we decided that we'd investigate Ted. He seems really upset at those millionaires and billionaires, but not so upset that he hasn't taken a shitload of money from them. Club for Growth. By the way, Club for Growth is one of those organizations that the Koch brothers Yes, that's right. K-O-C-K-C-H. You know them, you love them. They're the millionaires and billionaires I think Teddy was talking about. They've donated so far for his campaign from top five contributors for Ted Cruz, $705,657. The Senate Conservative Fund, also popular with those millionaires and billionaires, $315,991. And this is the Wood Forest Financial Group. Obviously, that's not millionaires and billionaires. Those people are probably greenies, right, Ted? No. $111,500. Teddy boy, did you negate the fact that Goldman Sachs... I don't know if those are millionaires and billionaires. I don't know. I don't know, Ted. $69,350. Morgan Lewis LLP. I'm not sure who they are. But they don't sound like a greenie group or a union or people that represent, you know, the working people that you give a shit about, Ted. Teddy boy. They've given you $67,550. You know what I don't see in any of Ted's top five contributors? Unions. Gee, those would be actual workers, would they be, Ted? So, Ted, you get a fucking fart for that, because that's crap. Let's go on to our next Bravos or bullshit. And the next purveyor of bullshit is, of course, our lovely and fantastic Jeb Bush. Jeb, he's trying so hard, and gosh knows he doesn't want to be the underachiever in the family. But, you know, unfortunately, he really doesn't want to be president. But he is, again, doing something that the Republicans seem to do. They talk in their own little world that actually doesn't have anything to do with the real world. Unfortunately, Jeb said something about their world actually being the real world. Have a listen to this piece of absolutely unqualified bullshit.
Well, first of all, the idea that somehow we're better off today than the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated president of the United States is totally an alternative universe.
Yes, Jeb, that is class A bullshit, actually. And we have the actual... We have the actual statistics to prove it, ladies and gentlemen. Jeb is in the alternative universe, and let's have a look at what they say over at factcheck.org. Jobs, paychecks, and corporate profits and stock prices have all improved since our last report on the Obama statistical record. The economy has now gained nearly five times more jobs under President Barack Obama than it did under your brother, George W., who almost sunk the fucking economy. The unemployment rate has dropped to just below the historical average, below the average unemployment rate. Real weekly earnings are up to 1.7%, thanks in part to the plunge in gasoline prices. And corporate profits, well, we really want to look after those because the millionaires and billionaires, you know, have nearly tripled. Stock prices have soared. The average premium benchmark for silver plan in the Obamacare marketplace rose only 2%, as according to the Republicans, who said it would rise out through the roof, and consumers have more plans to choose from. Oh, doesn't seem to be as bad as all that, does it, Jeb? Because that's bullshit.
Well, I'm very happy to get a question this early on. I was going to ask you to wake me up when the time came.
Yes, of course, that is not bullshit. That is not bullshit, ladies and gentlemen. It is, in fact, Dr. Ben Carson, who, as we know, is the only narcoleptic ever to run for fucking president of the United States. So we classify that comment as being completely fucking true. I literally fell off my chair. Because I happen to think that Ben Carson is actually involved in kind of like a dream sequence. I think that he'll wake up in a, you know, out of a coma. So I dreamed I was running for president. you know, to sell books. So Dr. Ben Carson was probably the only true comment of the entire GOP thing. Let's go to our next one. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are going for gold now, because now we're dealing with, of course, Donald Trump. Now, amongst his racist rantings is a complete misrepresentation of Syrian refugees, which, by the way, I'm trying to keep this light, but it really fucking pisses me off, because this guy lies congenitally. I, you know, when he gets up in the morning, he literally unscrews himself from a bed. Trump went on about, evidently, he was asked about, there was a lovely doctor that was interviewed with Obama as being representative of Syrian refugees, and they had two children. And of course, Trump came back and said, well, I'm just going to let him say, he said this when going about saying why he wouldn't let these people into the country. He's a real prize. Ladies and gentlemen, the Donald.
It's not fear and terror. It's reality. You just have to look today at Indonesia, bombings all over. When he introduced the doctor, very nice, everything perfect, but that's not representative of what you have in that line of migration. When I look at the migration, I looked at the line, I said it actually show recently, where are the women? There looked like very few women, very few children, strong, powerful men, young, and people are looking at that and they're saying, what's going on? And we can't let all these people come into our countries and break our borders. We can't do it.
Yes, that's right, Donald. Pure fucking racist crap. Absolute papa crap. Absolute crap. And you know how I know it's crap? Because if you look at the UN, they have actually statistics on Syrian refugees. And according to recent statistics gathered by the United Nations and updated, there are 4,289,792 registered Syrian refugees, and about 22% of those refugees are men. Only 22% between the ages of 18 and 59. So if you're worried about strapping young 58-year-olds my age running around and being terrorists, God, he's such a douche. The hypothetical young male fighting age is most likely narrower than the reality of what we're talking about when we're talking about 58. Also, contrary to common belief, the majority, 50.3% of refugees, I don't see any women, I don't see any kids. Yeah, because you're not looking too hard, you fucking racist shithead. 50.3% of the refugees are female. And an even higher majority, 51.2%, are children under 17 years of age. But definitely, Donald, fuck them all to hell, yeah? Right? Right, Don? Right, Donald? I'm trying to keep this light, but God, this guy pisses me off. More specifically, almost 40% of the population, both male and female, 40%, Donald, is under 11 years of age. Thus, women and children under 17, not young men of fighting age, make up a grand total of 76.6% of Syrian refugees, you asshole. What a fucking asshole. And, of course, the dumbass hicks that listen to his shit, which is complete, it's a lie. It's a total and complete fabrication. It is a fabrication, and this, and he knows it's a fabric, because, man, I can do a UN Google search on the percentage of men of fighting age that are registered Syrian refugees. I can do it, like, in 5 minutes. So he knows this shit, and he's just saying this. What a guy. What an amazing asshole. Now, but, of course, when you're looking at the Republican Party, you're looking a plural of assholes, a flock of assholes, because one of my favorite moments was when Ted Cruz came up with his New York values statement. So, ladies and gentlemen, oh, Jesus, here he is, Ted Cruz.
Senator Cruz, you suggested Mr. Trump, quote, embodies New York values. Could you explain what you mean by that?
You know, I think most people know exactly what New York values are.
I am from New York.
Well, you're from New York, so yeah. You might not. But I promise you, in the state of South Carolina, they do.
Yes, thank you, Ted. Thank you. That's right. Oh, they always getting the hicks over there in South Carolina. Yeah, all those South Carolina. I remember I toured down at North Carolina, you know, and I thought of Robin Williams' thing. I was like, you from New York? Yeah? You Jewish? In fact, I happen to have thought, when he said that, I happen to have thought a scene from The West Wing, which more or less, this is what they mean by dog whistle code, ladies and gentlemen. Do you remember the pilot of The West Wing? All right. There's a moment where Toby is talking to a group of evangelicals, and I swear to God, this is from a TV series that was launched 10 years ago, and they still use the same dog whistle. Here's the cut from The West Wing.
We're not prepared to make any sort of a deal right now.
Sure we are. Mary,
my read of the landscape is that you're cleaning out your desk before the end of business today, so I'd just as soon negotiate with Toby if it's all the same to you.
Mary.
Please allow me to work. It was only a matter of time with you, Josh. Yes. That New York sense of humor was just a little...
Mary,
Reverend,
there's no
please.
Need to...
They think they're so much smarter. They think it's smart talk, but nobody else does.
I'm actually from Connecticut, but that's neither here nor there. The point is, Mary, I...
She meant Jewish.
When she said New York sense of humor, she was talking about you and me.
You know, Toby, let's not even go there.
It's not an apology. Let's move on.
I'd like to discuss why we hear so much talk about the First Amendment coming out of this building, but no talk at all about the First Commandment.
I don't like what I've just been accused of.
I'm afraid that's just tough, Mrs. Marsh.
You know, these fuckers never change. They really don't. They really don't. An anti-Semitic dog whistle from Ted Cruz. New York values, they ain't like you and me. No, they're a bunch of Christ killers. Didn't you know that? Jesus Christ. When you can cite a 10-year-old pilot of a television show that cites the same dog whistle that you use today... I mean, it's a 10-year-old, it's literally as old as Nixon, you know? The idea that them New Yorkers, they just ain't human like us. They're not real Americans. And by the way, I'm sick to fucking death of listening to this bullshit coming out of the Republican Party every fucking time they open my mouth, that they're the real Americans. They're the real ones. They're not like phony Americans like us. They're real Americans. Where do you get your fucking ego? Really, seriously. So, Ted Cruz, that's a definite fart. But, ladies and gentlemen, of course, we don't want to just isolate the Democrats because, ladies and gentlemen, I have collected a few of the Democrat bravos and bullshit. So, let's go to the Democratic debate, ladies and gentlemen.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for bravos. Bullshit.
Yes, we have to play that again simply because it amuses me. All right, ladies and gentlemen, of course, there was a very much more civilized debate, and there were bravos for each of the candidates during the Democratic National debate. But we're going to pick, first of all, Hillary Clinton is more or less, yes, you people who out there know I'm in the bag for Sanders, knew that I'd get a little terse with Hillary, and I have been recently. And one of the things she's been trying to do is paint Bernie as some sort of gun nut. So this is what she said about Bernie Sanders.
He has voted with the NRA, with the gun lobby, numerous times.
Now, I'm not going to give Hillary a complete fart on that, though I think that what she's doing is rather devious. This is from PolitiFact. Overall, in PolitiFact, this is from their article, he said, overall, Sanders is neither a gun nut nor an anti-gunner. Well, I'd argue with that. He's received lukewarm marks from the NRA, ranging from a C- to an F In the last 15 years, he's got an F. So I wouldn't say that he's not an anti-gunner. In fact, Sanders has voted in favor of banning assault weapons, closing the gun show loophole, regulating high-capacity magazines, and expanding background checks, all after the Newtown massacre. Now, what Hillary's referring to is Sanders' gun control position in the votes he took in 2009. Okay? And two, he voted against the Brady Bill. He voted to allow firearms on Amtrak trains and national parks. His most recent pro-gun vote was 2009. So, yeah, there are certain things that I think Hillary is right about. I think that he should have voted for the Brady Bill, and I think that having some yahoo next to you on an Amtrak train with a gun, if he's not a law enforcement officer, is probably not what I'd do. So I'm not going to give Hillary a fart, but I think she's being very disingenuous here. Because when in the last 15 years, he has received an F from the NRA. So you would not call him a gun nut. And that is kind of what Hillary's trying to do in her desperation to show a difference between the two. So I would say that that's a borderline fart call, but I'm not going to give Hills the entire fart. So I'm trying to be fair here. Let's go with our next clip.
There needs to be a concerted effort to address the systemic racism in our criminal justice system.
Who is satisfied that millions of people have police records for possessing marijuana when the CEOs of Wall Street companies who destroyed our economy have no police records? We have got to make our police departments look like the communities they serve.
Yes, yes, ladies and gentlemen, yes, we are giving both Hillary and Bernie big kudos on that one. Absolutely true. Both of them hit the nail on the head. That's why, basically, I said it last week, and I said it during my rant. If you're a Bernie Sanders person and you say that you won't vote for Hillary in the general if she makes the nomination, you're an idiot. Okay? I don't really like a lot of things that Hillary stands for, but I'll tell you something. On certain issues, she's been consistent, and on civil rights, she has, and so has Bernie. Bernie has marched with Martin Luther King. I find it very difficult to believe, though, that Bernie's having a hard time getting the black vote. But when you look back at Clinton's record, except for maybe a few questionable calls during the campaign when she's running against Obama, her record on civil rights is consistent. So both of you get a lovely little applause for that one. Not so this one, okay? Have a listen to this.
We have the Affordable Care Act. That is one of the greatest accomplishments of President Obama, of the Democratic Party, and of our country.
Yes, that's right. Hillary gets a big fat for that one. Because not only the Affordable Care Act, by the way, is an accomplishment, but Hillary has been running around town getting her daughter to come out and frighten people and saying that if you vote for Sanders, he's going to dismantle the Affordable Care Act and you'll lose everything that you have now. And that is just bullshit. It's total and complete bullshit. Let's go to PolitiFact again. Actually, Bernie's act, he said basically, look at the acts that I've already introduced in Congress. Well, PolitiFact did and said that the bill states very, very clearly that U.S. residents are entitled to the benefit of health care services and would require auto enrollment at birth or at the point when someone becomes a legal resident. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's campaign told us that Clinton's point was that the law would rid us of Obamacare, Medicaid, Medicare, and CHIP for everyone. That may be true, but Sanders Healthcare seeks to immediately replace all of these programs as well as attempt to cover all those currently uninsured. That would be a federal level change rather than governors choosing to scrap those federal programs. There's a wonderful quote from David Himmelstein, who's a co-founder of Physicians for Public Health, and he said this: her claim is analogous to saying that Medicare dismantled private insurance for the elderly. It replaced defective private coverage with something better. By the way, that something better is something that I enjoy here in Australia. And something actually that Hillary, back in the good old days, advocated. So basically, when she was trying to build a healthcare program when Clinton was president, she was actually championing what Bernie's championing now. And now what she's doing is running around and saying that his program will obliterate all the accomplishments that Obamacare has made. That is bullshit. It's just total horseshit. And she fucking knows it. So this is one of the reasons I'm getting pissy with Hillary. Don't lie. Don't lie. You know, as much as I am for Sanders, I've always had respect for Hillary in certain issues. I don't think she's a bad person. I don't think she's an evil person. But you're lying. You are lying, and you know you're lying. Stop that. That's why Bernie gave her the look the other day, because I think he was absolutely kind of just totally disappointed in her. Don't lie, Hillary. That's bullshit, and you know it is. Okay, next one.
What do you see as the difference between what you would do about the banks and what Secretary Clinton would do?
The first difference is I don't take money from big banks. I don't get personal speaking fees from Goldman Sachs.
Senator Sanders called him weak, disappointing. So I'm going to defend Dodd-Frank, and I'm going to defend President Obama for taking on Wall Street, taking on the financial industry, and getting results.
Again, absolute bullshit. Hillary, if you want to defend your $400,000 speaking fees that you collected from Goldman Sachs, don't wrap yourself in Obama in front of a black audience, okay? And let's go look at it, really, in the same light of day, let's kind of look at exactly how effective Obama has been in getting Wall Street. Because you know something? If you look at the facts, it hasn't been a glory-filled thing, you know? I mean, you got a applause line for that, but that's just horseshit. This is from a columnist, a guy named Jack Kelly, who works for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and the Blade of Toledo, Ohio. From 2009-2012, the top 1% received 95% of income gains. That's during Obama's administration, according to the University of California at Berkeley. A man named Emmanuel Sayez did the report. The stock has been selling at all time highs, despite, and by the way, during the president, I will say that you'd expect them to do better. You'd expect people to do better. But during the presidency of George W. Bush, the top 1% only got 65% of the income growth. So actually, they've gotten more income growth under Obama. The stock market has set all-time highs despite most dismal economic news, thanks to our quantitative easing money creation approved by Obama. The top 1% owns 83% of U.S. stocks, and they're doing very well, thank you very much. The boon to Wall Street has been a blow to the middle class. Near zero interest rates have undermined their savings. Quantitative easing was supposed to make credit available to Main Street, businesses crunched by the recession. Now, according to Andrew Huszar, point man for the Fed's bond purchases, he said this very frankly. He said, "My program wasn't helping to make credit any more accessible for the average American. Quantitative easing may have been driving down wholesale costs for banks to make loans, but Wall Street was pocketing most of that extra cash. The banks also enjoyed huge capital gains on rising values of their security holdings and fat commissions for brokering most of the Fed's quantitative easing transactions, he said. Now, Wall Street investment banks also get from federal loan guarantees what amounts to an $83 billion subsidy. Does that sound like someone who's really tough on Wall Street? It's tantamount to giving the banks about 3 cents of every dollar collected. And that's from the editors of Bloomberg. Not exactly a lefty publication. The major cause of the Great Recession was the recklessness of Wall Street bankers, but Democrats gave them an edge in 2010 when they imposed crushing burdens on smaller competitors who'd done nothing wrong. The Dodd-Frank bill has imposed significant costs on community banks without providing benefits to consumers or the economy that justifies those costs, concluded a paper by Wake Forest University law professor Tanya Marsh and Joseph Norman. Despite ample evidence, this is the one that's the killer. Before you start applauding Obama for going after Wall Street, just remember, not one Wall Street executive has been prosecuted for fraud. Not one of these bastards has seen the inside of a jail. So it's easy to see, and I'm going on with the article, so it's easy to see why Democrats are Wall Street's darlings. Last month, and this was done last year, Goldman Sachs paid Hillary Clinton more than $400,000 for making two speeches. How fucking good were the speeches, Hillary? Jesus Christ. Less than an hour, $400,000. That's what you're making, aren't they? I think for her to wrap herself in Barack Obama's lukewarm prosecution of Wall Street. And by the way, Eric Holder, the Attorney General of the United States, retired recently and actually went back to a law firm that represents, guess what? Banks. So before you start applauding and wrapping yourself in Obama about how wonderful he's been about prosecuting those banks, not one prosecution, not one. All right? So richly deserves Hillary. That's bullshit. Just total bullshit. Well, that's the last one we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to leave you with that piece of Hillary bullshit. All in all, though, I must say, very good debate. I'm very glad to be a Democrat. I think that all of you out there who watched it are glad to be a Democrat as well. We didn't get around to Martin O'Malley. By the way, O'Malley, some good stuff, he said. Some very good stuff. But we're running on half an hour just with this opening bit. So I've got to say goodbye. But we'll be back just in a moment with Randy's Rant right after these messages.
Educate. Syncopate. Radio communicates, radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Now, here comes the music.
How many saw the Republican debate last night? Wow. Or as I call it, the Hateful Eight. Wow, that was some hair-pulling catfight, wasn't it? I tell you this about the Republicans. They know their audience. You could not be bloodthirsty enough. Any time the discussion turned to anything about national security, they were this close to professional wrestling banter. ISIS, when I get in the ring with you, you will not be degraded. You will be destroyed. Right? I mean, it was this close. It's so comforting that the party of impotent white rage is also the party of concealed carry and stand your ground. I tell you, these guys love the Second Amendment like nobody's business. I mean, Chris Christie defended the right to own a 50 caliber rifle which can shoot through armor in case robbers break into your house in a tank. Chris Christie was trying to burnish his asshole credentials last night. He said, Obama, we're going to kick your rear end out of the White House in the fall. Yeah. I think the Constitution is going to do that for you. You had your chance to do that in 2012. He also said Obama was a petulant child. Right. Obama's a child, says the man who needed surgery to give his stomach a timeout. Christie was tough. He said he would not allow Syrian refugees into this country. He's going to keep them all stuck on the George Washington Bridge. Oh, I'm telling you, the testosterone was flowing in that room. They were all so amped up, except, of course. What can I say about Dr. Ben Carson, the human screensaver? I mean... Everybody else would talk and fulminate, and then they would go to him. It was like, and now a word from the International Space Station. Every time he would talk, it would take a few seconds for him to come back online like a computer that was in sleep mode. It's just sad. They asked him if he would put boots on the ground to fight ISIS, and his answer was, imagine if ISIS nuked, because they have nukes. Imagine if ISIS nuked our electrical grid. That would be really bad. He's just not really presidential material. He's more like the guy who starts talking to you when you're waiting for the bus.
And feet inside the motor vehicle at all times, because it's now time for Randy's Rant.
I'm mad as hell and I can't take it anymore. You know, it's keep your hands and feet in the vehicle like you're on the Jurassic Park tour, you know?
That's right.
And all the velociraptors are going to bite your hands if you don't keep them inside.
That makes you the dinosaur.
I'll bite them.
Yeah,
isn't that a good picture? Okay, my rant this week.
Yes.
My rant this week is about, you know, the myth of racism in America. Is there any racism left in America?
No, according to the Republicans say no, Randy.
No. Well, I'm telling you, on the 31st of December in Mars, Pennsylvania, there is life on Mars, according to David Bowie. A man, a worker for land management named John Pisone.
Yeah.
Just started a harsh verbal attack and racial tirade on a bunch of people who are simply protesting fracking.
Right.
A drilling site outside of Mars, and they wanted to protest against fracking. Now, it just happened that this protest was being filmed by a young African-American named Thomas Jefferson. Very well-known name.
Good.
And anyway, this guy, full camo and everything comes up, really looks two chromosomes short of a gene, and he starts in on you know, you guys should get a job. He's a monkey.
Yeah, God. Oh, God.
Get this nigger's camera out of my face. The whole box of
dice.
Does
he go the N-word? He goes the N-word. Is that it?
Oh, he says the N-word. It's not bleeped out in my my little clip, which I'm about to play you.
Okay.
But this guy really did give America the ugly face of racism. Now, you really think that, of course, all the good old boys are going to come to his aid? He's going to raise a lot of money on crowdfunding? No. He got death threats.
Right.
He had to take his Facebook and everybody off. He lost his job.
Oh.
He got fired.
Yeah.
He was forced to apologize. And this guy has no life left.
Yeah, well, I don't support...
He just got a full serve.
I don't think that's right. I don't think he should lose his job, but I think he should have to apologize, you know, really, seriously.
No. He didn't apologize until after he'd lost his job.
Well, dear.
But he really did get stuck. You have a listen to this.
Okay.
You people are losers. I mean, this sounds like the human face of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That disease, the Trumpophilia... is spreading, and this guy caught it in Spain.
Okay, here
he's typhoid. He's typhoid Mary. Here's John Pisone from Mars, Pennsylvania, on New Year's Eve, having a go at these people who are protesting fracking.
Okay, here it is.
That's a load of horse shit that you fucking hippies made up. You got your horse shit boots on. I see you're walking in it. Yeah, I do work. What do you do?
Work.
Protect the community.
Humanity. Yeah.
take my tax dollars too? Or, do you, or have you actually, you know, done something with your life? Have you had any kind of a job? Or this chimp right here?
What? What'd you say?
Yeah, chimp. Fucking nigger right here with a fucking mop on his head.
No. You better get out of here.
I don't give a fuck. He's milking my fucking tax dollars.
You better get out.
I don't give a fuck what you have to say.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, that's because
lazy
you're
fucker. I'm stupid. I actually want people to have a fucking job. Well, go ahead and sit on your fucking chair. Be a lazy fucking nothing.
Please.
Oh, you ain't taking
me out of here.
No. We are peaceful.
Peaceful.
So long.
You ain't gonna get no fucking job with the mop on your head. How about you cut that off? Goddamn lazy fucking hippies is all you are.
So do you want to stay here all day? I mean, do you have anything better to do?
I don't want to work. I've been working since 5 this morning.
No, not here. Okay. If you've been working since 5 this morning, why don't you go home and get a beer?
I'm bored. I still have plenty of energy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Why don't you go work a second shift?
Nothing to do. I got rained out for the day.
Oh, okay.
So I can tease you fuckers.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, now that was John Pissone or Pissone or Pissone. You know, yeah. As you could
what
hear,
the
guy was really, he gave both barrels to both the African-American cameramen and the women and men who were protesting the fracking. Quite peacefully.
Yeah.
Quite peacefully.
Mm.
And I think he deserved everything he got. You don't?
No, I don't. You know, because I really think, the thing about John, good old John there, who's obviously a racist, is that people basically now in the age of Trump have been lulled into the idea that they no longer have to use code words anymore. You know, basically when they talk about the inner city, they're usually talking about blacks. You know, there are political code words that allow you to say the N-word but not say it.
Yes. Okay.
Like New York sense of humor or New York, you know, New York values means Jews.
Yeah, now,
it
now,
just means Jews.
Is
yeah,
there code? Is there code for monkey and for nigger?
Yeah, yeah. No. And don't use that word, Randall. I really find
how
it
many
very
times
difficult
did he
to
use
listen
it?
To that word. I find it absolutely shocking because right now these people have come out of their holes and now feel free to use it. But you know something? At least he's honest, whereas the entire Republican presidential class there,
yeah,
use wedge politics. They consistently use race politics as the Republican Party has done since Nixon.
Yeah.
But they don't do it as honestly as this guy does. Now this guy is absolutely a nutcase. But did he deserve to lose his job? I'm not. You know. We do have freedom of speech in the country.
He was driving a company truck, and he was wearing a company jacket.
Okay, well, there you go. All right, then, yes. you've got me.
I don't like the
there.
N-word. I don't like the C-bomb. I don't like a lot of those words, but they are just words, and I don't know if there is code. But, I think this guy is the face of racism in America.
And I love these. Republicans who run around saying, "Well, you know, Obama's black. That means racism doesn't exist anymore."
No, of course not.
Jesus Christ! All you have to do is see how many black people have just been gunned down in the street recently, and the fact that Flint, Michigan. Is being, you know, literally 100,000 people poisoned by Republican.
They're drinking the GOP Kool-Aid, aren't they?
Yeah, but I'll tell you, Hillary Clinton said something, and this is something I said previously in the last bit, as you know, is I think one of her great comments was the fact that this would not happen if Flint, Michigan was not majority black. And you know that if it was in a Detroit suburb, white, this would never have
been
covered up.
All of those places, yes.
Yeah.
They aren't. You should be lucky. They should feel lucky in Flint. In parts of Detroit, you don't even get water. Do you remember
that?
They were turning it off.
That's true. But I don't think anybody in Flint is going to be lucky because I think that, you know, when you look at those people, the kids who literally are suffering, can suffer cognitive, you know, literally brain damage.
Of course. It's like mercury. It's like mercury and lead
absolutely.
Poisoning. And how about
this?
Totally without any fanfare or kudos, a Muslim community group delivered several truckloads of bottled water.
I know.
And
I know.
Things like that. Somebody just happened to get wind of it and took a few pictures. But that's the kind of. You'd call it patriotism.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, did you hear what Cher did?
Yeah, as well, yeah.
I fucking love Cher. I'm sorry, mate. Oh, she's a fucking winner for me. I like Tramps and Thieves, and she called the governor out on Twitter and then followed up by delivering literally hundreds of thousands of bottles of water on her own dime to the people of Flint.
Yeah. No,
God,
I think
bless
it's all
her.
Great. Cher. Yeah, and I think that kind of thing, you know, sure, it puts you on the news, but she didn't have to, and I don't think... I think it just happened that people got wind of it. I don't think everybody said, "Look at me, look at me, look at me." It just happened.
Yeah, yeah. And I think also that I think the governor of Flint, I agree with Bernie Sanders. He should literally resign. And I hope that he gets held personally responsible for this.
Well, yeah,
because
for sure.
But you know, because that, I mean, on his watch, yeah.
How did they the thing where they actually got rid of the clean water bill the day before all this broke?
Yeah.
Explain
to our listeners a bit about that.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, you know, they knew that this was going to be a problem. So they really quickly backdated or predated or something a clean water thing that says you can't be prosecuted or whatever.
In the House.
Yeah. And and Obama vetoed it now, so this guy could be hung out to dry.
Good.
Yeah.
Rick Snyder, I hope that you are very happy, because taking away their constitutional rights of representation and then poisoning their children, mate, you are bigger than a tinfoil hat.
Yeah,
you are a bastard.
The whole tinfoil body cast.
Did you hear the fact that he came out after Hillary came out with a thing of being very upset about it, and you know that he came out with a statement that basically says, well, you know, we don't want people scoring political points and finger pointing. And I'm sitting there thinking, the only reason that anybody found out about this was because people started finger pointing at you fuck.
Yeah.
Because if it was up to you,
hang on.
Would still be
shit happens. Yeah. Shit happens, Bill.
Yeah, what
shit
the
happens.
Hell, you know,
they love saying that. Who was it? Jeb Bush.
My God.
Jeb Bush said that. Oh, shit happens. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, shit happens. You know, sometimes you lose a war, and sometimes you force.
And my brother kept us safe. My brother kept us safe.
Sometimes you lose a war, Randall, and sometimes you force 100,000 people to drink toxic waste. You know, I mean, shit happens.
Yep, shit happens.
You know, what are you gonna do?
Yeah,
fuck it. Listen, Randy, that was your rant. Listen, we're going to go to a break right now. So thank you for that, Randall.
And let's have a tinfoil hat.
We have tinfoil hats too. We'll be right
back
after this message.
It's on us to stop sexual assault.
To get in the way before it happens.
To get a friend home safe.
And to not blame the victim.
It's on us.
To look out for each other.
To not look the other way.
It's on us to stand up.
To step in.
To take responsibility.
It's on us, all of us,
to stop sexual assault.
Learn how and take the pledge at itsonus.org.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's the news and commentary we listen to because we hate our own heads. It's time for our tinfoil hat segment tonight, as if we haven't had enough of those already.
Brought to you by Alcoa, the friendly foil.
The friendly wrap, ladies and gentlemen, yes. Hey, listen, we were listening to the, of course, the Fix It and Post Orchestra did, of course, the X-Files theme.
They do a wonderful rendition. It sounds so authentic. It's just wonderful.
It does. It just sounds like it was stolen from somebody. So tell me, listen, you mentioned something that I'm very excited about. What was that, Randall?
Well, yes, Mulder and Scully and the cigarette-smoking man.
Yes.
And all those people are coming back for a six-event... miniseries on Fox. I know we don't like to say that.
Well,
channel,
I don't like to listen to Fox, but I'm going to watch this. I'm afraid I just have to.
Oh yeah, well they do some nice TV. I mean, you got to admit they do some good television.
Yes, I know. Yeah, they do.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, the Mulder and Scully. Just when you thought it was safe to go back into outer space, here they come. The truth is still out there.
Still out
after
there,
10
mate.
Years. The truth is still out there.
Did I ever did I ever tell you that I actually met Gillian Armstrong?
Gillian, yes, you did tell me several times, and she's
a
palm.
I like dropping names. It was because I was actually a security.
Well, I'm much more impressed that you went to college with Laura Linney.
I know. I did.
I get semi when you talk about that. You know, like
I didn't go to college with her. I did shows in Keene, New Hampshire, with her when she was young.
And young, I hope. Yeah.
Well, no, she's still beautiful. But I'll tell you something with Laura Linney, and I'm getting off the track. But with Laura Linney, I literally said I was ASMing a show she was doing called Vanities, and I looked at her and I said she's going to make it because she was that fucking good then.
Well, look at John Adams. John Adams is incredible.
Yeah.
The recent Mr. Holmes. She played the housekeeper.
She's fantastic, isn't she? She's just wonderful. So Gillian Armstrong as well. So we can't wait for the X-Files movie or the X-Files miniseries.
Miniseries, yes, yeah.
The truth is still out there. Now, we also have tinfoil hats, Randall. Now, I understand
I've got a good one. I've got a great one.
Oh, good.
You'll love this, Willie. These guys are total tinfoil hats.
Oh,
now,
good.
These guys... Kenneth Copeland and Jesse Duplantis
are what are called
megachurch scamvangelists.
Yes, they are.
Megachurch scamvangelists.
Yes,
now,
they are.
Now, these two guys make millions of dollars, hands over fist. They've got these churches that are bigger than football stadiums, and they just make a fortune. Now, here's the two of them having a bit of a WeChat where they justify, I don't know how they do it, but they justify having private jets.
Okay.
Private, you know, Gulfstream 650 jets that say that because they can talk to God and not be close to the druggies and other stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, you got a list of this.
Let's go to the clip.
And you're going to throw up a little bit in your mouth.
Okay, that's fantastic.
But have a listen to Kenneth Copeland and Jesse Duplantis defending their use of private jets.
Let's go to the clip. Randy's tinfoil hat for 137. Here it is.
Well, first, before I read the scripture, Amos chapter 6. Brother Copeland, I was flying home from a meeting, and I had come out of a glorious meeting. I had just finished, me and Cruffalo Dollar were preaching. Had a glorious meeting. So I was, for lack of a better way to say it, I was spiritually high. I said, people were saved, touched, and blessed. Got in the plane that God so graciously gave us, and we're flying home. As I was going home, the Lord, real quickly, he said, Jesse, do you like your plane? Now, you know, I thought that's an odd statement. I said, well, certainly, Lord. He said, do you really like it? And I thought, well, yes, Lord. Then he said this, so that's it? I didn't know how to handle it. I went, what? He said, you're going to let your faith stagnate? And when he said that, that shocked me. I went, whoa, wait. I literally unbuckled my seatbelt, my plane. I stood up. My pilots looked around and said, do you need something? I said, no, I'm talking to God right now. And he went back to flying. I said, Lord, I don't think I was letting my faith stagnate. He said, so this is all I could ever do. I said, you're trying to tell me something. He said, go to the book of Amos. So if you had the book of Amos, I want to read the scripture.
May I interrupt you there for a second?
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't have done that on an airliner.
No, sir. No way.
Stand up and say, what'd you say, Lord?
No.
Okay, no, yeah. And the guy sitting over there saying, what the hell does he think he's doing?
You can't do that.
You can't do that. No. This is so important. And those of you that are just now coming into these things, in the first place, Jesse and I and others, Keith Moore and Creflo and all of us, the world is in such a shape, we can't get there without this.
That's right.
We've got to have this. We would have, the mess that the airlines are in today, I would have to stop. I'm being very conservative. At least 75 to 80, more like 90% of what we're doing, because you can't get there from here.
It's impossible.
So and this was such a good illustration. I just, the Lord impressed me. That's why we're on that airplane. We can talk to God.
Glory
we
to God.
Can,
it's
we,
true.
It's when I was flying for Oral Roberts, the brother Deweese, my boss on the airplane, he said, "Now Kenneth, this is sanctuary. It protects the anointing on brother Roberts." And he said, "You keep your mouth shut. Don't talk to him unless he talks, because when he's on a meeting, he doesn't talk to anybody but God." Now, Oral used to fly airlines.
Right.
But it, even back there then, man, it got to the place where it was agitating his spirit, people coming up to him. He had become famous, and they wanting him to pray for him and all that. You can't manage that today, this dope-filled world, and get in a long tube with a bunch of demons.
Right. That's exactly the
point. And it's deadly.
And he works on your heart. It really does.
So I wanted to make that clear so the devil can't lie to you and say, "See there, them preachers spending all that money."
Oh, they don't want to be in that. They don't want to be in that tube. They don't want to be in that tube up there with all those dirty hippies and druggies.
Yeah,
they want to talk to God.
If Christ was around today, Randall.
Yeah, they need a private jet with caviar and leggy stewardesses to do that. Yeah.
Randall, if Christ was around today, I'm sure that he would be riding in a jet and not running around with hookers.
He would throw up a little bit in his mouth. No, the GOP would crucify him.
Sorry.
That's bad taste.
They actually, you know, really, there are comparisons. Because I think that if Christ did come today, come back, he would look at the people around there who claim to be his friends and throw up in his mouth.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that would actually happen.
Yeah.
So anyway, folks, a tinfoil hat with Kenneth Copeland in it. What were the chances?
Now it's your turn.
It's my turn. And ladies and gentlemen, I have something really special. You may have heard this on YouTube or on the Young Turks. But listen, mate, this is worth another shot. Because ladies and gentlemen, the Freedom Kids from Florida.
Yeah.
Evidently, Donald Trump was doing a bit of a show in Florida because his speeches are kind of like, you know, the Hunger Games. And so he got out there and these kids had gone home in cheerleader, red, white, blue cheerleader uniforms and had made up their own little salute to Donald Trump. It's scarily hilarious. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, here they are from Florida, the Freedom Kids.
Cowardice. Are you serious? Apologies for freedom. I can't handle this. When freedom brings, answer the call. Shoulders, USA! Enemies of freedom. Face the music. Come on, boys, take them down. President Donald Trump knows how to make America great. Deal from strength or get crushed every time. Over here.
That's great.
over here. President Donald Trump.
I like
he's gonna kick their ass.
Randy, I love the part where he says, they say basically that we're going to crush things. I love the idea of little children, apple-cheeked American girls.
Oh, prepubescent.
Basically
President Donald Trump.
Crushing things. By the way, we at The Bill Show have a good friend named Simon Cowell, and this is what he thought of that act.
Oh, yes.
Here it is.
You know what? It's exactly identical to a nightmare I had last week. And I'm being serious. A week before I was due to start this, that was what woke me up in the middle of the night.
I think so.
You are the weakest link.
You're out, mate. That's it. Simon is so correct on that. Hey, Randy, it's been absolutely fantastic doing
this
show.
I love doing
this
show. We should do it like, we should just wear microphones and just, we should do it like, you know, Ed TV or The Truman Show. We should just do The Bill Show forever.
Yes, I know. That's basically the idea of podcasting, is that people have a lot of spare time on their hands.
We don't, but we do take pride in it and we do enjoy it.
Oh, we do. We absolutely enjoy it. Hey, folks, listen.
Our wives don't understand why we do it.
No, they don't. They don't. But old men need hobbies. So listen, folks, if you like the show, please rate us on iTunes, because we literally passed, we are up to about, I was looking at our hits and it's over 500,000. You know,
half a million people have heard our voices.
Half a million people have heard our voices. We routinely get over 1,000.
Maybe they're using it like in Africa to learn English or something.
There are like 4 people in Zaire who listen to it. And I've got
Burkina Faso.
I've got to throw out a hey to Val in Great Falls, New York.
Oh, she's contacted us again. She won our prize.
We love Val. Val is the reason we do the show.
Just for her.
Absolutely.
She's from something called Great Neck or
Great Falls, New York. She's
Great
in Great Falls,
Falls, that's right. Massachusetts.
She was, no, you'd be nice when we were talking to Val. She basically said she was very upset because I did that long monologue last week in which I was really kind of very serious.
You were incensed.
Yeah, I was mad, you know. Yeah. And I've gotten a couple
We've got to bury them. We have got to bury them.
I know. Yeah. But it was from the heart. And
it
basically,
was brilliant. It was from the heart.
I got two comments basically in one day that said, "Are you all right? You know, are you okay?" You know, and I said, "Yes, I'm fine. My blood pressure's down now."
Hey, did they know that albeit spontaneous, that was the second take?
That was the second take, but it's not hard for me to get passionate about
this
election.
Riled up again, yeah.
Well, this election is the most important election we'll ever have. I think it really is.
I think so. And, in our lifetime, that's for sure.
So as much as we want to do the comedy, Randall, there's a serious undertone to everything we say, and get out there and vote. Get out there and vote. If you're a Democrat,
get out
there
and register for the primary.
Fucking A, Bubba. Get out there. Get off the sofa. Put down your fucking bong.
Register for the primary and register for the election and actually get out and vote.
Absolutely. And you can reach us. We haven't touched our website for too long, and I'm very sorry about that.
No, I'll get on there. I'll put some of these memes and I'll put some of these things up there. Yeah.
And thebillshow.net is, of course, where you can reach us. You can also reach us at the Bills on XPR at the Bills on XPR at gmail.com. And if you want to send us any feedback about the show, and please find us on iTunes. The iTunes were listed under The Bill Show Politics This Week. So if you go under that, please, if you like the show, if you have anything to say about the show, please, because we're trying to get some people to rate us on iTunes. So please do. We've been doing it for 3 years. We're not asking for money.
We don't want any money.
We don't want any money.
Did you want to tell them we're actually toying with the thought of going on camera?
Yes or no?
That'll scare the shit out of them.
Oh, no. They'll go, oh, my God, no. Yeah. The beast.
We're not the Young Turks. We're the old farts.
The old farts. That's what we are. Anyway, listen, it's time for us to say goodbye, Randall. Randall's been great.
Goodbye, Randall.
Goodbye, Randall. Goodbye, everybody. We'll see you
next
Willie.
Time. Goodbye,
Willie. Bye. So long. Bye, Randy.
Now it's time to feed them, give them their meds, and pack them away till next time. So long and good night from the Bill Show.